Welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio. We are back in the studio today. We have Janelle and Beth and Janelle's dad, Dennis, myself, Sandy, and Tara.
Yeah.
And we've been discussing in Matthew 16. It was such a great discussion last time. I hope you were able to tune into that. And if not, you can get it on the iPod. iPod, is that what it is? Podcast. I'll get that right.
Well, you can watch it on your iPod through a podcast.
There you go. So, oh well, I'm the silly one.
That
what can
like
I say?
Me.
We talked about how Jesus asked Peter who he thought he was, and also he blessed him with the key to heaven. And so we're going to continue with this. We're going to find out what else Jesus is telling Peter.
So we've been talking about the confession of Peter, as Sandy has said, and we were looking at, ended last week, about how when Peter made his confession, Jesus also made a confession. It was like a parallel of what happens. And so what he did, Peter did with his mouth, Jesus then did with his mouth. And it reminded me, do you remember when we were going through the warnings, when it took us all 8 weeks to do that? That, do you remember Jesus said that, you know, if you're willing to confess with your mouth about me, I will be willing to confess with my mouth about you before the Father. And literally that's what happens. A parallel confession occurs. But Jesus doesn't leave it with just identifying who Peter is in Christ, that he's a rock, that he's, you know, something that is solid, stable, and strong, but he is the rock that he's going to use amongst many rocks to build the church, and that he's literally giving him the keys to the kingdom of heaven so that he can bind and loose on earth what is in heaven, and showing him what his purpose is within the community, his purpose is within the kingdom. And so it's just a blessing to see how he laid this all out. But then he begins to warn the disciples again. And if you think about it, there's quite a bit of a habit here happening in that Jesus talks to them and tells them something, and then he warns them. And I think of how often when I warn my children, they're like eyes rolling or whatever. It's like, Mom, I know. But there is a insight and a foresight that a parent can have. Obviously, Jesus being Jesus has an incredible insight and foresight. And he again gives them warnings that they need to be thinking about, because things are coming that they yet do not fully understand. And he's wanting them to be prepared. And so he says to them to not tell anyone that he's the Christ. And he began to explain to the disciples that he has to go to Jerusalem, that he is going to be killed by the religious leaders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, that they're coming, they're going to kill him. He's actually letting them know what's coming in Jerusalem, but not to be worried, because on the third day he'll rise. And so he gives the warning, but then he also gives the hope. And so I wanted us to focus here the importance of why that warning is so significant at this point and getting them prepared. And why do you think that it was necessary he give that to them at this point, getting them to think on Jerusalem, what he's going to have happen to him?
I think maybe it might be that, you know, when you first come to the realization of who God is, it just spills out of you like, oh my goodness, this is God. And you come face to face with that, you can't help but proclaim it almost. And so the natural reaction for them when they've, you know, made that claim and staked their claim with Jesus, like, yes, I'm your follower, yes, I believe you're the Messiah, it would be difficult for them to not proclaim that or not make it known, at least to their friends, their family and everything. And Jesus is like, the timing isn't right yet. You need to be quiet and silent for now in order that the purposes and things that need to happen will be accomplished.
That's good. Anyone else?
I was just thinking that same thing. Wait on the Lord, because he knows when the right time is, and he's telling right now. Like Janelle said, it's not now.
Anybody here been tested with patience?
All day yesterday.
Well, what I think is interesting is that Jesus is giving a warning, and he's preparing them, and then all of a sudden Peter does something. What does Peter do?
He says, no.
Rebukes?
He does. Never,
he
Lord.
He rebukes the Lord, yeah.
This shall never happen
great
to you.
Peter.
But that's Peter.
It is Peter. That's me. It's me. I feel like I listen to Peter. I'm like, oh, Lord, that is so me. I so am Peter.
He just jumps out there and says whatever's on his mind.
That's he has a lot of facepalm moments.
Well, you know, Scripture does tell us he does at least have the decency to take him aside before he says it. I would be the one that wouldn't have the decency to go to a side. I would just blurted it out, you know, without saying, come here, let me talk to you for a second. Instead of removing ourselves from the, he took him aside to talk to him about it. So at least Peter did have some social decorum there, right? But here we have him telling Jesus the very thing that God said, okay, son, it's time. I'm sending you to earth to fulfill my kingdom purposes now. You're going to go as a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. You're going to lie in a manger. You're going to walk on this earth, grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. You're going to preach. You're going to teach. You're going to heal. And then you're going to die. And that's what Jesus' eyes are focused in on. He's heading to Jerusalem to die that our sins would be forgiven. And here Peter says, no. He doesn't understand that's the very purpose that he just confessed. Wasn't long. I thought about counting how many seconds, if I read this scripture, this dialogue could have happened. And I read one of the commentators, I think it was the Holman commentary, says that we can literally take this passage as literal, the way it's laid out, that this is a consecutive event of time. There's no gap in between things that happen. I'm thinking that probably isn't more than 45 seconds that he went from the confession of Christ to, no, Lord, this will never happen. And he knows, based on prophecies, what needs to be. And yet he said no. And so this is where Jesus steps in and says to him, what does he say?
Satan. Get behind me, Satan.
Ouch.
Yeah, ouch is right.
Has anybody ever been the stumbling block for somebody else?
And it's, like I said, it's literally 45, you know.
It could less be, than a minute. It is not
you're like,
long.
You're like right there, and then you're like, boom.
Spiritual high plumage to that. Yeah. I mean, that's feeling.
That's like falling off a cliff.
Speak before we think.
Or to look at the very one who told you, this is not from man, but from heaven. Look at you and say, Satan.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh.
Ouch. Okay, seconds. It only, the reality is I think that for me, this passage was put here because it helps me to realize that I can be right on, and then the next moment,
right
boom.
Off, boom.
Walked into the wall, didn't do what I said. And I think it's funny, he said stumbling block instead of stumbling rock. I've often wondered why he didn't use the word rock again, because it's easy. And I think that's probably because he doesn't want to mess with the word. And I think we all get that it feels like when you trip over a rock, a block was there and it could have been a stone. What was Peter's mind on? Where was his mind? What was he thinking?
Worldly things.
Worldly things.
What he wanted.
Yeah, what did he want?
He wanted Jesus to stay.
Yeah.
He didn't want him to go. I mean, he just got, you know, Jesus just, like you said, proclaimed him. And so he doesn't want that to end.
Yeah. You know, I keep facing the reality of this, not wanting somebody to go, wanting somebody to stay. It seems like it's a recurring theme in life, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
You know.
It's not fun.
No.
To let go.
Yeah. And he's put me now at Grace where I have to do it every year, where I have to release a pack of kids that are adults off into their lives, and knowing that I might just get hints of moments after having invested in them, you know. And my friends Tanya and Sabrina and so many others that left church to go and help start Calvary Chapel, that was like probably one of the biggest for me of God reminding me, don't act like you are Satan. You do not know what I am doing. And I would not change anything for what happened with my friends that went to go do that church plant. But I grieved for a solid 2 years not having the ministry team that I was accustomed to having. And it's very easy for us to get into a position where we can tell somebody no. And so recently, my daughter came home, and I didn't even ask permission, but I'm just going to share the story on her. Lord, forgive me in advance. Michaela, I love you. But it's profound. She has been thinking all along she would do education for her degree. And our church leadership and the youth group, they're just really tight on trying to get these kids to be right with God. Mm. And the more Michaela goes, the more she realizes, I don't want watered down Christianity. I want sold out. Mm-hmm. And she's feeling the call to missions. And she just couldn't stop crying. She came home on Sunday night, and I just looked at her, and she's like, Mom, I think I'm supposed to do intercultural studies to prepare for missions. And I'm just, okay. And then she burst out in more tears. I'm like, Michaela, I kind of have seen it on your life since you were in first grade. I did not want to be the stumbling block. I saw this happening in her, and I told my mom, you're going to have to start praying for me now, because I know I'm not going to want to release her. Mm-hmm. And I know that still, whatever it is, I have no idea what that might mean. I don't know how that will look for her life or whatever. Yeah. It may not be overseas. I don't know. But she knows she doesn't want mansy pansy Christianity. She wants sold out Christianity. Mm-hmm. And so to where we don't want to be where we hold so tight onto someone, we're stopping them from growing, hitting the target mm-hmm. of what God's called them to do. And Jesus' sole purpose, his identity on this earth as fully God, fully man, was to fulfill the kingdom purpose at the cross. Mm-hmm. And I know that nobody on the radio can see this, but everybody here in the studio can see it. In the center of the diagram, I drew a cross. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because that is the sole purpose of why we go through the identity in Christ, the identity to community, mm-hmm. the identity to purpose, so we can do the identity to the kingdom. It is to get to Jerusalem at the cross with every single person we meet. Mm-hmm. That is why mm-hmm. we're here. That's what a parent does. A spiritual parent takes somebody through the stages so that they then in turn can take somebody else through the stages to build the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And it's hard.
Mm. It's hard to let go.
It's hard to let go. Mm-hmm. And it's hard because we don't want to sometimes invest
the time. Yeah.
Well, we get complacent, we get lazy. There's many factors that can happen, but that's when we want to look at it and do it the way that Jesus did. And at the beginning of this passage, we started off our first week, how did Jesus open up the question? I want to just bring us back to that. The question, was it broad or narrow?
It was broad. He's asking the whole community.
Okay.
Who?
What they believed.
They thought. Oh, yeah.
And how did he narrow it down?
Narrowed it down to just the individual.
Okay.
Peter.
Right.
Okay. We think at that time.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it was Peter who ended up being the one who confessed, but most likely they believe he may have said it to all of them. The reality is that's exactly what happens. We have to, when we are discipling and bringing it in to make somebody into a spiritual parent, we'll start with the large group, just the way Jesus did. But eventually you have to pull it down to the 12. Mm-hmm. And then with the 12, he had the 3. And then with the 3, he had 1. Mm-hmm. And that's how he'd do it. So he'd be in the crowds, and then he'd see Zacchaeus. Mm-hmm. Narrow it down. He'd go to the 1. Mm. And so the question we should always be asking ourselves is, in our walk and in our time, who's the 1?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people say, but I am not around anybody that's an unbeliever, because that can happen in Christian circles today. Mm-hmm. We get so into Christian mm-hmm. schools, Christian circles, Christian, that we aren't what we're exposed to. But the reality is discipling is mm-hmm. from birth to the fullness of the parent. So we should be actually, it doesn't matter who we're interacting with, growing that identity from Christ to community to purpose to kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And that can happen even if we're in closed-in groups of just Christians or if we're out in the community.
Mm-hmm.
It just, we know what has to begin with life if somebody isn't a believer.
I like that thought, too, because, you know, when my fellowship group a couple weeks ago, we met and I was telling them, you know, that you had talked about your little peeps always. So I said to them, who are your peeps? You know, who's around you that God wants you to do something in their life or lead them or help them? But I love this. You narrow it down to 1.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, and it's in the moment.
Yeah.
So in the moment, my 1 ends up being whoever it is that's coming and talking to me.
Right.
And so staying in mm-hmm. that moment and asking. And so my prayer this morning is like, God, do not allow me to go into me.
Yeah.
Allow it to be that I truly am investing as a mm-hmm. vessel mm-hmm. for your glory.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's what Jesus was doing. So then Jesus then turns to the disciples and it's like, okay, so, all right, I had my stumbling block. I disciplined him. Boom. Okay. And then he says, you have your mind on the things of man, not the things of God. And then Jesus again begins to remind them.
Yeah, always.
Remember, he had already done this in the warnings and he had to do it again. And so he goes back into the things that they need to get their eyes focused in on and what they need to do to help themselves not be a stumbling block. Okay. And so he then tells them, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And so he brings it all the way back to, all right, so we got to go back. All right, Peter, I had you. You were in the kingdom. You were the rock and you're building and I'm going to build the church. And then boom, you messed up. Okay, let's go back. Deny yourself, follow me, take up your cross, and let's get going. He didn't sit there and pound it in. It was just, let's remind ourselves what we're called to do, pick back up, and let's start moving towards that. It's hard when somebody falls, isn't it? And so what are some ways based on this that we should pick someone up?
With reminder and gentleness.
Okay. Does it sometimes require us to say you're not thinking on the things of God?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And
that's the hard one, but you do. You have to just say, do you hear what you're saying? You know, that doesn't honor God.
I heard this one time and I've tried to use it, but sometimes it gets a little elusive when I try and practice it. If you get pulled over by the police, sometimes he's going to give you a warning and a lecture, and sometimes he's going to give you a ticket. Very rarely does he do both. So if you're going to lecture the person, you lecture him. If there's a consequence that's already happened, the consequence is the consequence. And usually if we do both, we're lost. You know, especially with my kids, I'm like, might as well remind me, okay, he already got a consequence from it. He knows what he did. Us berating him for it, it's not going to lift him back up.
That's
so
good.
I loved that.
That's very good. Very good. Well, we're so glad you've been listening, and we're going to come back next week, and we're going to finish up the end of this passage and look at as Jesus gives the challenge to the disciples and how they're supposed to pick back up and move forward when they have fallen and become the stumbling block. So we're going to hit that next time, and you need to come back and get it. And we're just so glad that you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. We just want to say thank you to the donors that make this possible, and we look forward to hearing from you. God bless.